We're going to have our reading now. It's the last in our series in pondering the parables. And Emma's already mentioned it tonight, the parable of the sower. And it's fitting as we set out as a church on a week of evangelism and sharing God's word with the families and the communities around this church, that we finish our series on pondering the parables with the parable of the sower. And I hope it will encourage the team as we reach out with the gospel this week, and it will also encourage all of us to keep sharing God's word with others. So we're going to read the account in Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 8, and we'll read verse 1 down to verse 18. Luke 8, verse 1 down to verse 18. Soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out of, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded a hundredfold." And he said as he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. There's a very successful Northern Irish TV show called Rare Breed. I don't know if anyone has had a chance to watch it before. Rare Breed. And it's basically a program that goes around Ireland following all different types of farmers. Now, I've only had the privilege of watching it on a couple of occasions, but it's a very interesting program, Rare Breed. And the goal, really, of Rare Breed is to give an insight into farming life, to understand what it's all about, to understand the pressures that farmers face, etc. And programs like that are needed. It was very interesting that a survey was done by the Telegraph, not the Belfast Telegraph, but the UK Telegraph, back in 2012 of different young adults, asking them to identify where their food came from. And about a third of 16 to 23-year-olds did not know that bacon came from pigs. A quarter failed to link milk with the image of a dairy cow, and about 11% thought eggs came from wheat and maize. They need programs like Rare Breed, a program that's made to give us an insight into the farming world, that through media and program and story sharing, we would understand more of the world of farming. And yet here in one of the most famous of the parables that Jesus tells, the parable of the sower, Jesus does the opposite. He doesn't tell us this story in order that his audience would learn more about farming, like in Rare Breed, but he uses a story about farming because his audience understood farming. And he uses this story to teach them about something else, to teach them about God and how God's word goes forth in his kingdom. Jesus does the opposite to that TV program, Rare Breed. Rare Breed wants to teach a media-savvy audience about the reality of farming. Jesus wants to teach a farming-savvy audience about God. And most of us, we're not like Jesus' first audience. We're townies. I'm a townie. We know very little about farming. And yet this is a simple and well-known parable. And hopefully it will give us more than farming tips. We'll get a lesson about God. And as we've spent 10 weeks working through these different parables of Jesus, these stories that Jesus told to teach us about God and about the gospel and about the kingdom, the parable of the sower is unique among them. You see, in many ways, it's a parable about all the other parables. It's a story to explain all the other stories. It's a parable about how people are going to react to Jesus and to his teaching. It's a story about how humanity are going to respond to the word of God. And we're going to look quickly at three things this evening. They're all numbers. We're going to firstly see two audiences. Then we're going to see four soils. And then we're going to see three lessons. So the first thing we see is two audiences. Who is this parable given to? And if you read in chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, "Soon afterwards, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him." Jesus, he's continuing his ministry of healing and teaching. Sometimes we forget that Jesus preached and he taught just as much, as if not more, than he healed or he did miracles. He's going about this normal pattern of teaching, of preaching, of healing. And we get down to verse 4 and it tells us that a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him. And he said in a parable. Luke tells us there is a great multitude in attendance here. There's people from town after town. There's lots of people. And not only are there lots of people, but there's lots of different types of people from different places. And we see there's a first audience to this parable that Jesus tells. It's a large crowd of different kinds of people. They hear this story. They're the first audience. And Jesus begins to tell them a story of something they would have been familiar with, a sower who's going out to sow some seed. And he tells the story, and he says the sower goes out to sow the seed, and some of the seed falls on the path. And what happens to it? Well, it's walked on, and then it's eaten by the birds. It's gone. There's no growth. There's no harvest. There's no fruit. The seed's gone. It falls on the path, and it's eaten. It's gone. Then he goes on to explain how the sower continues to sow, and some of that seed falls on the rock, or the rocky soil. And a seed soon springs up, soon springs up from the seed. But it's rocky soil. There's just a thin layer of soil on the top. The rest is rock. And the roots, they have no depth. They can't penetrate through the rock. And so this little plant withers away. There's no moisture from the roots to give it life. It started off growing, but there's no harvest. There's no fruit. We go on down to verse 7, and we read that some fall among the thorns. And the thorns grew up with it and choked it. The seed has fallen there. It seems like good soil. It begins to grow. It puts down roots, but it doesn't grow alone. There's competition. The thorn and the weeds grow too, all around it, and they overpower it, and they starve it. There was growth, but in the end, there was too much competition from the unproductive weeds and thorns. And yet again, there's no harvest. There's no fruit. And then we get down to verse 8, the fourth type of soil. The seed lands, begins to grow, the plant springs up, it brings a great harvest. The other gospels in their accounts of the parable of the sower talk about different yields of this good soil. Some yield 30 times, some 60 times, some 100 times. Luke just sums up saying the seed in the good soil brings 100 times more in harvest. It's productive, it's fruitful. There's a great harvest. And the first audience hear this story, don't they? A story about soil. And at the end of it, Jesus cries out in verse 8, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And this is a passionate shout at the end of this story. This is not just some gardening or farming tips from Jesus. This is not just a story about some soil. He has a meaning in it. He has a purpose to it. Some of the people listening to this story have ears to hear. Some of them don't. This first audience, this great crowd of different people that Jesus tells this parable to, some will hear what he is saying. Most will not. But then there's a second audience in verses 9 to 15. The disciples. We read that they come to Jesus and they inquire what this story means. What does this parable of the soils mean? And he says in verse 10, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." The disciples are different, because the mysteries of the kingdom of God have been revealed to them. We don't have time tonight to go into it, but if you look across the New Testament, quite often the writers talk about this secret, this mystery that's revealed. Particularly in Paul's letters, we read about it. And the idea behind this mystery is it's a truth that we cannot understand by ourselves. It's something that only God can reveal to us. Open our eyes to see, open our ears to hear. I remember back to my school days, and I made the mistake of doing German for 2 years in school. I was terrible at it. I just couldn't get my head around it. And no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't get used to German. And every few months we had the end of module test for your German. And I remember one time failing that test. And if you failed the test, you had to come back after school and you needed to repeat the same test again. So I failed the test, I went back after school, I took the test again, I failed it again. And if you failed it again, you had to come back on a Friday after school and you had to take the test for a third time. And in the end, my teacher just gave up. No matter how hard I tried, I couldn't get my head around it. And if I'm being honest, part of the problem was I didn't want to. I had no desire to, I had no interest. Jesus is saying in verse 10 about his teaching, the disciples are going to understand that God will reveal the spiritual truth in these parables, in these stories that he tells to them. And part of that is because so often they come to him and ask him to explain it. God's opening their eyes, he's opening their ears, they understand. In the crowd, the one who seeks God, the one who has spiritual ears to hear and understand what Jesus is saying as he's teaching, they'll understand it. But most of the crowd won't. They'll hear the story, but they'll miss the truth from God. And in verse 11, Jesus quotes from the Old Testament. He quotes from Isaiah chapter 6, the chapter where God called Isaiah to be a prophet. And he told Isaiah that he would speak God's messages, but the people aren't going to understand them. They departed from God. They were serving idols. They refused to repent. And so Isaiah was sent with a message that most would reject because the mystery wouldn't be revealed to them. He's telling the disciples there will always be two audiences to God's word. To my teaching. There'll be the ones who are coming only to see my miracles. There'll be the ones who are coming just to use me and are only interested in me making their lives better in the present. There are those who are only there for the buzz and the excitement, and they'll fall away at the first obstacle. They'll be the ones who'll praise my name today and shout, "Crucify!" tomorrow. They will hear Jesus' words, but they'll not understand his message. They'll see Jesus' actions, but they'll not see who he really is. God won't reveal it to them. And in their unbelief, they won't desire for it to be revealed. But there'll be a second audience, the disciples and the ones with ears to hear. And God will reveal the mystery, the ones who God convicts of sin and causes them to be converted, the ones who recognize who Jesus is and follow him, the ones who have spiritual ears to hear. And I want to encourage the team this week as they set out to share God's word with these children and with their families. There's going to be two audiences. One audience will be coming for the fun and the games and the quizzes, and they'll not have ears to hear. They're the first three soils at this point in their lives. The seed won't bear fruit. It may go deep down in there and it'll bear fruit in the future, but it won't bear fruit now. But there'll be others, and there'll be good soil, and they'll have ears to hear. And this week, God will open their hearts, and we pray that they'll be convicted of their sin, and there'll be good soil for God's word. Two audiences. There's two audiences to Jesus' parables. There's two audiences this week. Secondly, we see four soils. Four soils. Jesus goes on to explain the parable in verses 11 to 15. The seed, he immediately identifies it with the word of God. This isn't really a farming story. This is a preaching story. Jesus is sowing the word of God. And there have been many after him who have come sowing the word of God, God's truth, God's gospel. And this seed falls on four types of ground. It falls on the path, firstly. It's trampled underfoot and it's eaten by the birds. And Jesus explains the meaning in verse 12. The path represents those who hear the message. It goes in one ear and it goes out the other ear. And the devil comes. Ruth's already mentioned that tonight, our enemy. And he comes and he takes away the word so that those won't believe and they won't be saved. There's an enemy of the sower. There's a spiritual battle going on. And we remember that this week. Seed, it falls on the path, and the powers of darkness swoop in, and they make sure nothing happens with that seed. It's gone. And there are many people who are brought up attending Sunday school. Some even attend church. Some have Christians in their family, and the seed falls on them. They hear the gospel, but the seed falls on a hard, uninterested heart, and the evil one swoops in and takes the seed away. And there's no belief and no salvation. And there may even be someone here tonight and you're not a Christian. And you've heard the word of God many times. But the seed is still falling on the path. And the enemy comes and takes it away. See, the second, we see the rock. Or the rocky soil. The seed falls, it starts to grow, and there's nowhere for the roots to go. It doesn't tap into the water of life, and it withers away. And in verse 13, Jesus explains, these are the people who receive God's word, and there's an initial response. They respond to it with joy, we read in verse 13. But the key is that there's no root. And in a time of testing, they fall away. You see, God's message can be attractive to people. It can cause an emotional response, and many can pick up on the wrong things, and they can focus on Jesus making their life better, or they like the idea of heaven, and they get caught up in the emotion, and they pray a prayer, and they think that that's it. But there's never any repentance, never any roots into the gospel, never any surrendering of their life to Jesus. It's just an emotional response. There's no roots. And it withers at the first sign of trouble. We see the rock, or the rocky soil. Thirdly, we see the thorny soil. Those who hear the word of God, and the seed, it gets planted, it begins to grow, it connects with the soil, but it doesn't grow alone. It grows along with the thorns, and the thorns grow around it, and they begin to choke it, and they overcome it. There's not enough space, there's not enough nutrients to feed the seed and to feed the thorns. It's one or the other. And Jesus explains in verse 14, it's those who respond, but the cares of the world, the riches and pleasures of life overcome it, and it brings no fruit. There will be people who will respond, and it will seem to be going well. Then other things in life become idols, and idols and sins are being fed more than the seed, and they're the ones that grow, and the seed bears no fruit in their life. Those who profess faith, and they seem to go on for a while, but soon other things grow in their affections and take over. And as time goes on, they go further and further away, and they show they were never truly converted. The thorny soil. But lastly, we see the good soil. The seed falls, it grows, and it grows. The roots go in, they spread out, the crop grows tall and rich. That gives an abundant harvest. Those who hear the word, they repent of their sin, they run to the cross of Jesus, and they live their life with this noble and good heart that God gives them in Christ. And God uses them to bear fruit, the fruit of character. By the power of the Holy Spirit, they live a godly life and they become more and more like Jesus. The fruit of evangelism, when as churches and as individuals, they become the sower themselves and they sow the word of God around them. And God brings a harvest. We see four soils. Four soils. Thirdly and quickly, we see three lessons. Three lessons we can take from this parable, which is applicable to all of us, but it's especially applicable to the team this week as they reach out with the gospel. The first lesson is that the sower keeps sowing seed. The sower keeps sowing seed. That seed lands in all types of ground. It doesn't just try and find the good ground. If there was a farmer listening to this parable, he'd be tearing his hair out thinking, what a waste of seed. Three soils and it's wasted. And yet, Jesus is saying the sower sows the seed everywhere. He sows it everywhere. One chapter over in Luke chapter 9, Jesus is going to send out his disciples to preach and to heal. They're going to encounter all different types of soil. And it wasn't their job to work out what soil it was. It was their job to sow. And this evening, if you're a Christian, we are called to be your sower. And sometimes we'll look at people, or sometimes when you're tearing your hair out at that kid this week who just will not sit still and will not listen, and you think to yourself, is there any point? Sometimes the ones we think are the hardest and the rockiest, they're the ones who turn out to be the good soil after all. And God breaks in and he saves them. Keep sowing. God does not promise that all soil is good soil, but he promises there will be good soil. And that soil will bring a great harvest. What is your job this week, Holiday Bible Club team? Your job is to sow. To sow at every opportunity you get, and you do not know where the wind of God's Spirit will take that seed and where it will land to his glory. That seed is powerful. There will be good soil this week, and it will receive the word of God. Your job is to sow and leave the rest up to God. Keep sowing the seed. A second lesson, soil can change. Soil can change. We don't read this exactly in this parable, but we know it in our experience. Many of us here this evening are good soil Christians. We've responded to the word of God. We've been converted. We're bearing fruit. And yet we remember a time in our lives when we weren't good soil. We were the path, or we were the rock, or we were the thorns, when God's word used to go in one ear and out the other ear. And we couldn't care less. But God changed the soil. And the word came in, and we were good soil, and it bore fruit in the gospel. We can keep praying tonight. We keep praying for the paths and the rock and the thorny soil. All those people where the seed is being sown into their lives and it doesn't seem to be bearing fruit. God can change the soil. And a seed sown in future will bear great fruit. Sometimes that seed goes in very deep, doesn't it? And it can take years and years and years before we see God beginning to work. But God can change the soil, and we keep sowing. Thirdly, this parable is played out in miniature in our Christian lives, isn't it? It's not the main application of this passage, but as we look at it, we can see times as Christians, we have little pockets of all those soils in our hearts. We hear the word of God often, but there's areas of our lives where it goes in one ear and out the other. Where we give it up at the first sign of trouble, where God teaches us something, but we follow the beat of the world's drum instead. When we learn something on Sunday, and we fail to live it out on Monday. We're good soil, but there's still those little pockets of different soils in areas of our Christian life. And we're to pray that God would plow up those bits, that his word would come in and bear fruit in all areas of our lives. Let's be a church that prays that in every area of our life, we'd be good soil today. Let's have ears to hear every day. And as we go out this week to share the gospel, what an encouragement. God's in control. All he asks us to do is sow. And we leave the work of the harvest to him. The parable of the sower, two audiences, both here. Only one understands. Four soils, all four receive seed. Only one bears fruit. Three lessons. Keep sowing. God changes the soil. And even in good soil, there's still bits that need to be changed. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for its encouragement. And we pray that you would help each and one of us, Lord, to sow the seed of the gospel to those we meet in our family, our friends, our colleagues, our schoolmates, and specifically this week as we seek as a church to reach out with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us to sow. And Lord, we look to you to bring a great harvest, that there would be good soil this week. And Lord, in faith we would know that your word does not return to you void. And we just ask you would encourage us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.